A handful of unlawful behaviors led by fraud and bribery account for nearly all public corruption convictions since 1985. Every public corruption case is different in the details, but the thousands of corruption convictions in federal courts since the mid-1980s have largely boiled down to four categories of criminal conduct: fraud, bribery, extortion, and conspiracy. June 5, 2020. A comprehensive analysis of nearly 57,000 corruption cases in federal courts spanning 30 years revealed that fraud and bribery dominated the types of conduct underlying criminal cases, accounting for 76% of the lead charges in cases resulting in convictions. Those two unlawful behavior types, combined with extortion and conspiracy, broadly informed the lead charges in virtually all examined corruption convictions in federal courts from 1985 to 2015. Public prosecutor representing the Special Investigations Unit, Sai Nijima, is the older sister and legal guardian to Makoto Nijima due to the death of their father. Sai Nijima dons a black turtleneck cloaked in a black pantsuit with flared sleeves covered gray at the wrists. She wears a silver necklace of the Shujin Academy logo, violet fingernails, long locks of gray, and a heel of nothing taller than 2 inches. Sai is Atlas. Sai is a workaholic. Sai upholds justice, or so we think. Strict and laser-focused on maintaining a living for herself and Makoto, Sai is devoted to ensuring the success and reputation of the court system, and she will not rest until the results are in her favor. We learn that the Special Investigations Unit Director has assigned her the heavy responsibility of taking down the Phantom Thieves. We also learn some truths about Sai that speak volumes to a truth we already know about the justice system. Welcome to Sai's Palace. Welcome back, my Phantom Thieves and my listeners. Welcome back to the Pain of Fools podcast. I am the Pain of Fool, and this space is for you. Welcome to the Gamer's Den. Welcome to also the Grounds of Fertility, where we are teachable and we apply the things that we learn in our lives, and we share our gifts, we share those lessons. We also have elders, so we don't wander around like lone wolves in these streets without any guidance. We apply the wisdom and guidance of the elders for a smooth and prosperous life, for that is the only life they want for us. All right, welcome back. Welcome back to the Persona 5 Royale Persona 5 podcast, where we are talking everything Persona and we do a little bit of deep diving and all that fun stuff. All right. As you know, we left off as we were discovering that Sai had a palace, and we decided that we were going to now take it upon ourselves to explore her heart through the assistance of Akechi, who I am having a hard time liking right now because I do think that he is the masked culprit, but we'll see. All right, so let's just hop right into it. All right, so where we left off at was right in the interrogation room when Sai pretty much just showed us her calling card and said that we were next. We go back in time now. So we're out of the interrogation room. We're back in time. And I think it's like October 28th, the day of October 28th. All right. Morgana, Futaba, and I, we're talking. Morgana asked Futaba to look into Sai while we prepared her to enter her palace. It's after, and this is the 29th. It's after school, right? Okay, now we find the courthouse and we prepare to enter Sai's palace. That's her only job. You know, she's a prosecutor. She's a public prosecutor. And that job pretty much consumes her life. We figure that would be the best place to infiltrate and find on the Metaverse Navigator. Akechi's with us, obviously. He tells us that on November 20th, an investigation will likely be done at Shujin as well as Sojiro's and Futaba's residence. We begin the next mission just like that. We're trying to figure out the keywords, and we're outside the courthouse trying to figure out what word would be appropriate. And Sai calls the courthouse a place of competition, And that's something that we try to figure out and look beneath and do a little deeper digging and some introspection to figure out, okay, what would that word be? Makoto knew that it would appear to be casino. And that was the word. We had the little blur, the little cognitive moment where the screen changed to purple, and into the palace we went. Welcome to the start of Sai's palace. Now, one thing I've noticed when we entered the palace, we didn't change uniform initially like we normally would have. Morgana did change uniform into his Phantom Thieves costume, but all the rest of us, we didn't. And that's because we just weren't perceived as a threat yet. And that's what Akechi deduced. He was like, okay, we must not be a threat. He was pretty much putting two and two together while we were in the metaverse or in the shadow world. So yeah, the casino or the courthouse is a casino. And it didn't, for me, I instantly thought of, okay, why a casino? Why a courthouse? What is the correlation between the two? And I could imagine the first thing that came to my mind was there are a lot of things within the court system, within the justice system, that seem like a game. It seems like a gamble. I mean, prosecutors are known to be friends. There is no secret in how prosecutors do know one another through different reasons, through maybe they went to the same college together or they were friends at some point. Whatever it was, you may find that there are a lot of things, financial benefits, other things behind the scenes that seems like a gamble. The more money you put into the machine, potentially the better your outcomes will be in terms of your outcome, whether you're good or not. And, you know, and in the justice system itself, it just in how there's massive bias and all types of weird stuff. Yeah, it's like a rigged system. And the casinos are known to be that. There is a lot of risk, a lot of chance. But ultimately, I mean, yeah, if you put some in, you may get a huge kickback. But, you know, I mean, that's based upon whatever. It's based upon the turn of events and how that system plays out in the casino. So in my mind, I'm thinking like, okay, yeah, I can see the correlation. Anyway, let's just continue. Now, we're sharing our code names. We're outside the casino. We're still talking. Akechi wanted to first be called Karasu, and I think I pronounced it right. It's the Japanese word for raven, but we decide on crow. Now, to me, this makes sense. First of all, I always thought of him as like that observant bird in the distance, just observing, and potentially because I just didn't trust him. I'm like, he seems like he changes his form. Maybe he's something. I don't know, but I thought of some type of a bird. That was the first thing that I thought of, just some type of bird that could potentially shapeshift. I instantly thought of shapeshifter. But anyway, he wants to be called Crow. So, well, we call him Crow. We add him to the party. I feel as though he's probably going to be extremely important in this palace. So he's a party member. I keep him and I love his power. He has strong, almighty, and blessed abilities, and they're dope. We sneak inside the palace or the casino. And as soon as we enter, finally our costume changes. We were outside of it. We were on the street outside of the casino, but we jumped above this, like some part of the roof, and then snuck through this one escape or this one fire exit room door or whatever. Anyway, and now we finally get to see Akechi's costume, and it looks, I don't know how to articulate his costume. But what I will say is that it's the only one out of the group that's white, and it has gold accents, and it has a red cape, and the red mask he wears is a long, pointy red beak. And Haru, upon observing him, says that she thinks his mask is more apt for piercing rather than sticking. You know, and you know, it's just yeah, he looked like a big red bird, but just white, and he holds his sword a certain way. He just tries to present himself as valiant, and it was just, I'm like, whatever. All right, we'll see. At any given rate. Now, this is the first palace also where there's people, there's actual humans inside that do not appear to be shadows. And what we learned from that was Sai doesn't have a distorted view of the people. So it doesn't seem like we'll be battling. I could be wrong, but it's a palace, so there's probably going to be some shadows or a boss battle at some point. But it doesn't look like we're going to be doing a lot of fighting. Like, we're not going to have a lot of emphasis on battling. After seeing Akechi's costume, it just didn't seem like... It didn't seem like he was the masked culprit, because it didn't match. The masked culprits looked a little... Like, the masked culprit looked like it had horns and, like, red slanted eyes. So I'm like, okay, maybe it isn't Akechi. Maybe it's someone else. Who knows? But my suspicions weren't as high. I'm a little confused, but I know that he has to be working with the Special Investigations Unit. And, of course, this is the beginning of the game, since... Remember, in the beginning of the game, we were escaping a casino. This is the casino we were escaping. This is Sai's palace. So we're getting closer to the... To me, I think we're getting closer to the end, or we're nearing the climax of the story. We're in the casino now, again, not even 5 minutes inside of the casino. Shadow Sai is heard, and she's telling us to come on out, calling us petty thieves or whatever. We look down from the top of the casino, because remember, we infiltrated from the top. So we were a bunch on top of a bunch of lights and all the little decorations and things that allowed us to walk across the surface of it. So we were hopping across chandeliers and stuff like that. But she heard us and told us to come down, and we looked down, and there she is. She's standing in front of two guards, and she's in this backless black dress. It's like a Freakum dress. She has on these arm gloves and fishnets and a large hat, like a church hat. And along the small of her back, there's this huge tattoo of like a Doberman Pinscher, or maybe a Rottweiler, I'm not sure. It's a Rottweiler's head or Doberman Pinscher's head, surrounded in this gold floral pattern that extends into these vein-like thorns, and that splits into two, and they travel up her back along each of her shoulder blades, and then curls up to her shoulders, and then down just a certain part of her arms, just the top of her arms, barely. She's wearing this spike choker, this thick ass eyeliner, black lipstick, and on the front of the hat, two yellow roses are stacked, and they're just tilted ever so slightly, with four playing cards fanning out behind them. She's like, come on down, and I'll tell you where it is, talking about the treasure. So Akechi's telling us to do what she says. We jump down, right? And there she is, and she tells us where the treasure is located. It's on the manager's floor at the highest point of the casino. And Makoto asks why she's telling us this. Like, you telling us where the treasure is? And Shadow Sai says that she wants this to be as fair as possible. Snaps her finger, appears in the elevator in the center of the casino, and then she goes up. Akechi tells us to pursue her. I still don't trust him, by the way. He's just talking too much. I feel like he's just luring us into something. But anyway, we approach the elevator and learn that we need membership access, so we can't get to her yet. And I knew this wouldn't be as easy. We have to register some type of membership. You know how casinos are. You got to get a casino membership, you know, get the money on the card and all that stuff. But shadows begin to appear now, slowly. The people, the humans are still there, but shadows are showing up. Now, it's time for Akechi to show us his persona now. He's like, let me handle this. So his persona is Robin Hood. And I mean, okay, fair, cool. I don't really mess with Akechi like that, so I don't want to give Robin Hood any light because he's connected to Akechi. And what I will say is that maybe my feelings towards him will change. They might change, but right now I'm not feeling him. I kind of like him, seeing that he doesn't appear to be that masked culprit. But anyway, so Robin Hood's, the persona of Robin Hood's element is almighty and blessed mainly. So he uses a lot of the light-based attacks. And we have our first battle, defeat the one of the shadows, and then we immediately leave the shadow world to get a strategy together. It's not going to be easy. I'm like, all right, we're going to see how this goes. But at least we've gotten a route squared away. You know what I mean? I just have feelings about Akechi. Anyway, we left. After we left, We returned and I obtained membership access to take the elevator to the first possible floor, and that's the members area. Now, as soon as we arrive, the elevator door opens and we're in a floor full of slots and playing cards falling from the ceiling. And then you have Shadow Side and the two security guards approach us again. And Ryuji's like, all right, let's get it on. You seem to be ready to fight. Let's go. And Sai, in all of her arrogance and all of that stuff that she got going on, she's like, do not speak to me as though you are my equal. I am the manager of the casino and its number one player. You lack the qualifications to fight me. Yusuke's like, it seems she looks down on us. Yeah. You think? Akechi's like, what if we would like to battle you no matter what? And Sai says, I had to win time and time again in order to reach my number one rank. If you want to face me, you must continue to win as well. And so we're dealing with chance, sweat equity, risk, access, and luck. You know, this is the theme going on right now. And she's like, do you have the confidence to win? I don't expect much from you, but I'll be waiting. And then she disappears. And so Morgana's like, this is different from our prior opponents. She'd rather scheme than defeat us with brute force. You know, so we're still having dialogue and we come to grips that the palace may take a long time for us to get through until Akechi says leave it to him. He also says that he's well informed on what it takes to win. And he then asks Makoto if Sai has always been like this. And she's like, she lost her sense of justice because her desires have become distorted. And it has something to do with their father's death. She took on all the responsibilities, earning a living wage, trying to gain a promotion in a male society, and still uphold justice at the same time. She said these things, they may have weighed her down and led to the distortion within her heart. So our next plan is to play in the casino and win. I mean, that's the only thing that we can do. So there's a ranking system on each floor in the casino. The higher we go, the higher our rank, the more qualified we are to meet her at her level to defeat her. Simple, right? Sounds a little, you know, okay, all right, cool, meet me at my level. All right, yeah, I see you. I see where you're going with that. That's cool. All right, we need access to the high limit floor in the casino. We approach the cashier when we reach the members access area. We're rewarded with some complimentary coins worth 1,000. We got a map of the area and we're told which games we have to play. With 50,000 coins, can we purchase the card for the high limit floor to access Sai? Akechi pulls us over to the side. And he's like, it wouldn't surprise him if somehow the games are rigged because this is a courthouse in the real world. And Sai is serious about winning. In the real world, defendants in Japan are prosecuted at a 99.9% success rate, meaning they're almost nearly always found guilty. That's messed up. Honestly, she says, how can a rate like that really be possible? Are all those verdicts accurate? Akechi's like, no, the investigators are merely human. You're not the first to point out the rigged nature of the system. The prosecution is nigh unbeatable. That's why cases of false accusation cause such a stir, because they're exceedingly rare. Ryuji's like, yo, this is BS. Getting arrested when you're not even guilty. And yeah, just as I thought that the connection to the casino and the courthouse, it makes sense. You know, of course, this is a money system on top of that. You know what I mean? So the more money you put in, the more equity you put in, it's like, okay, my chances of winning, when I win, I win. And when I lose, I lose. Anyway, it just gave me a nasty feeling. But we enter the dice room first and we rig the game through Futaba doing all of her magic. And we win $6,300 in coins. Then we go over to the slots area. We encounter a boss battle as soon as we enter the door. We win, and then we have some more dialogue. I noticed that when we went into battle, none of the surrounding casino players, who are everyday people, reacted to the battles. And Akechi mentioned that this is due to Sai's perception of the other people in the courtroom. They only care for their own victory while ignoring the needs of others. Similar to the court system. If you're in court, you're not 100% focusing on everyone else in the gamble. Whoever pays the most tends to win, yes? You know? And it's just a constant reinforcement of just how messed up the court system is. So Makoto says, the reaction of the people is certainly different from what we saw on the first floor. She wonders if the trend grows as we achieve higher in the court system or higher in the casino. Anyway, Futaba rigs the system so we win the jackpot. I win the 50,000 coins. I trade in my coins for the high limit card and head my merry way over to the elevator, only to be met by a boss. Real quick win, we learn that Sai truly thinks that the trials are merely gambles. As I thought. We enter the high limit floor, and then there's this shadow host telling us where we are, asking if we have a reservation. So I thought it was going to be, I honestly thought for a hot second that it was going to be this easy, but it wasn't. We have this another dude looking like a host, a casino host, and he's like, do you have a reservation? No, we don't. And Makoto was like, yeah, this is probably connected to Sai's cognition in some way. So we need to head back to the real world and obtain access. Maybe we're giving a calling card. I don't know. But we have to go back in the real world. We return. Immediately after returning, it's nighttime. We're in the group text. Akechi lets us know that Sai is participating in a trial the following day. Right now, it's October 31st where we are. So tomorrow will be November the 1st, would be the trial where Sai is prosecuting. And Haru, she's shocked, like, what are you doing? Why are you in court if your focus is on the Phantom Thieves? What are you doing? Like, are you not giving yourself rest? But she's also a public prosecutor, so the work on her desk is major. And we just make the plans to go to the courtroom the following day and then straight to the palace after, because we think that having access to that courtroom correlates with that top floor in the palace. So the following day at school, our teacher, Miss Kawakami, tells us, this is now November 1st, by the way, she tells us that Dr. Maruki, the counselor, will be leaving on the 18th of November. I'm wondering what relevance that has in the game, but we'll see. We head to the courthouse. Sai is sitting up front to the side with her arms folded and her head down, looking irritated, maybe exhausted, I don't know yet. But Yusuke says that just being in the courtroom makes his body tense. And Haru says that she's shocked that Sai can think of a place as solemn as this as a casino. Still, just can't believe the connection of the things that we have inside of us, the things that we envision unconsciously, is kind of bizarre. But anyway, now the trial this day is about a politician who decided to make personal use of government funds. Apparently, he went on vacation with his mistress somewhere in some island or whatever. Anyway, Sai notices us. She flinches a bit. But we end up not seeing the trial, and we just fast forward into the palace. We return to the palace. We do have full access to the high limit floor. And there's just another shadow at the counter who grants us more money. And in my mind, I'm thinking that it would be over. But I knew it wasn't going to be this easy. I wanted to just wish that we would just have pure access to the treasure and we'd get to her. This would just bring me closer to, are we going to catch up to the interrogation part? Are we going to get that close? Whatever. But it seems we have a ways to go. It's just too easy. So whatever. I'll take it. We get 1,000 coins from the shadow host, whatever, and another map for this floor. Now we ask for another card to access Sai, and the shadow informs us that we can simply enter the room up the steps in front of us. All right, cool. It sounds like we're going to get somewhere, but I do notice that there are two rooms on the right and left of me. So I'm like, all right, something's about to go on. I don't know. Anyway, the room on the left, I think, is called the Battle Arena, and the room on the right is called the House of Darkness. And the room above the host up these stairs is that big room or whatever. So we go inside. I go inside the room at the top of the steps, and it's this room positioned like a balcony. So we enter this somewhat of like a balcony, and across from us, there's like no floor. Like there's balcony, and then over the balcony, there's no floor, no nothing. And in the middle of this big, somewhat of like a chasm, there's this scale, the scale of justice. But the scales are tilted. So we have to basically, and on the other side of that scale is like a room or a door to get into another part of the, maybe to size maybe to size treasure. I don't know 100%, but it's like this scale of justice. And we have to level the scale in order to cross that area. We turn around and I see this machine off to the side, and it tells me that I need to pay 100,000 coins to cross the Bridge of Judgment. That's what this room is called. It's like, I'm like, all right, whatever. So I have to go back and enter one of those rooms from earlier. And I enter the House of Darkness because why not? And I'm going to stop there, my Phantom Thieves. I don't think this palace is going to take long. It doesn't seem like it will. And I'm excited for the progression of this story because I feel like we're going to end up right where we are currently, and we're just going to continue from there. But I am so, I'm nervous. I'm also sad that it seems like we're approaching the end. And I'm like, I'm still in love with this. I went to Barnes & Noble today and saw they have the comics there. I know I shouldn't be saying the word comics, but I'm just saying they had the mangas there. And from 1 through 8. And then they have a special one, a Barnes & Noble special one for the Mementos. You know, I had to grab that, right? I grabbed that and I went right to Twitter and I was like, oh my God. Then I went over to my Reddit group and was in my Reddit group talking about it. Just losing my marbles. And I grabbed some other books. But yes, let's finish up of this palace next Thursday. And yeah, follow me on IG at The Painted Fool. You can find me on Twitter, Painted Fool Pod. You can also find me on Reddit, The Painted Fool. I'm in a Persona 5 group on Reddit. Did I say YouTube already? My website, thepaintedfool.com, YouTube, The Painted Fool. And let's keep the conversation going. I'm looking forward to Persona 6. I'm going to get some of the Persona 5 action figures. I have never been this thrilled over a video game in so many years, and I'm in love with it. And yeah, so see you next week. I love you all. Catch you later. Peace.